This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past several days, we have been speaking about the rights of God as set forth in the parable of the fig tree told by Jesus and recorded in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. We have pointed out already that this passage makes clear that God has the right of ownership, the right of expectation, the right of intercession, and the rights of condition. We had not quite said all that we need to say on the matter of God's right of conditions, but by that we mean that it is God and God alone who has the right to tell us what we must do to be saved. I realize that that does not tend to set well with us human beings. We want to do what we want to do, and we do not wish to bow ourselves to anybody. But the Bible certainly makes clear that if anybody is to be saved, he must bow his will to the will of Christ. Jesus himself said this, as recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." I know that many preachers say that you do not have anything to do to be saved, that it's all strictly by the grace of God. But that isn't what Jesus said. He said it is the one who does the will of God. And note plainly that it is the will of God, not just any will of God that you might think is the will of God, not just anything that men may preach or teach. The will of God is a definite, objective body of truth. It contains the conditions with which men must comply in order to be saved. And neither I, you, nor anyone else is going to be saved unless he does it. Not a single person is going to enter the kingdom of God unless he does the will of God. And men may be ever so zealous, they may be ever so involved and devoted to their religion, even what they regard as the truth, even doing it in all good conscience. But that does not mean that man will be saved short of and without obeying the truth. If Jesus Christ himself said, as recorded in John 8, verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." My friend, error never did make anybody free. You must learn and you must obey the truth in order to be saved. Notice further in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, Paul indicates that there are a number of things of which he says there is one. Now let's begin with God. He says there is one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one hope of life everlasting, one faith, that is the gospel, the truth, one objective body of truth, one baptism, immersion in water unto the remission of sins, and one body or church. Now this is involved in God's conditions. None of us has the right to say that we do not have to do that or that we do not have to recognize this truth. When the Apostle Peter preached to men on the day of Pentecost, the very first day that the gospel of Christ was preached as a law in force and preaching to men who had been instrumental in the crucifixion of Christ, he had this to say, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And the Bible shows us their reaction to it. It makes clear that they became believers. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" Now you and I ought not to be interested merely in what men say, and I certainly urge you not to accept a single thing that I say on this broadcast. But I do urge you to get your Bible and read for yourself and see that when Peter answered these men who were believers, note they were already believers and they asked what to do, he did not say you have nothing to do because you believe, but he said, "Repent ye." That makes clear that repentance follows faith. And it's absurd to think that any believer could be saved without repenting. That would mean that a liar, a fornicator, a murderer could go right on with all of his wickedness and still be saved. But the Bible makes clear that you must repent. Further, he said, "You must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is, by his authority, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I urge you to read in your own Bible and see that this is the case. I've read from the American Standard Version. The King James Version says, "for the remission of sins," which of course means exactly the same thing. Please do be with us next time as we conclude this very important study.